And I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. We have been following the readings in the scripture for quite a while. And today I want us to start thinking about what happens next. As you know, I am going to be leaving at the end of December, and I want us to start preparing ourselves to build the church up, not for my time, but for yours and for people coming after you and who are living with you now. I am disturbed that oftentimes people are not following the faith in Jesus and listening to the commands of Jesus, and are allowing themselves to be sidetracked, as Jesus was talking about today, by human little rules, instead of following the great principles that he taught us in the scriptures and in the gospels. And people are also getting confused and thinking, what's this about the faith? And maybe it's not good enough in our age of technology. And we also are facing great problems coming up in the world. Climate change is there. We have the pandemic that we know we're in the midst of right now. And there's more things to come. So how do we enunciate and proclaim the gospel in this time? What does it mean to be an alive Christian, knowing a lot about science, knowing a lot about the earth and how it works, much more than the people did in Jesus' day? How do we still proclaim that faith to people who often say, I can't be bothered with what you do when you go off to church. You're welcome to your stuff, but I've got better things to do, like play golf. So how do we respond to that? There's been some exciting work done over the last 10 years, and some experiments have been done, and things are coming together that I think are powerful and important. There was a time that people thought that faith and religion were on one side and science on the other, and they would be fighting each other. But new advances, new understandings in quantum physics, particle physics, new understandings about life, how it works, are taking that wall and tearing it down. And people are coming together. Now, I know I have a lot of scientists in this congregation, and I'm really excited that over the years you've been faithful, but probably you've had colleagues that question your presence in a church community. But this new work and these new advances are exciting and give us a platform, not for yourselves, you are people of faith already, and what you've received has worked for you. But maybe you can then speak to your grandchildren, your brothers and sisters, your nephews and nieces, whoever they may be, about why am I comfortable being in church, even though I'm a person in this current modern age and I'm educated. Anglicans, we always work that you never have to leave your brains at the door, that you can bring all that you are into the midst of the worship service and feel comfortable and safe in knowing the knowledge you know, and still proclaim in a robust way a living God who loves us, reconciles us, and is with us always. So what I want to do over the next few weeks or months, up and probably to the end of the Christian year, which is coming up in November, with maybe the odd exception here and there, is to talk about this new vision of faith that we can share and that we share with everybody around us. And today and next Sunday, I'm going to give us the introduction, and then we're going to go and explore it more in depth. The last Sunday of the month, I'm not going to be here, I might as well tell you now. It's my wedding anniversary, and it comes on a Sunday, and so the parish is giving me the Sunday off, so I'll be away, but first Sunday of September I'll be back, and we'll start exploring this in more detail. How many of you have seen at home or here in the church today the graphic that came out about 2 weeks ago of the universe? It was a three-dimensional graphic. It talked about the hugeness of the universe. It looked like little dots of light all over. They made it. It was a very interesting graphic, and it showed how the universe was expanding. And there was they predicted a trillion galaxies. It's hard for me even to imagine that number. So in that, there's a number of suns in each galaxy, and there's planets associated with every sun. So it's immense. It's beyond our understanding. But it's in the midst of that that we are a part of. And I want to talk about something that's called the divine matrix. And it arrives over a period of time. Physics has always been really interesting. 333 years ago this year, Isaac Newton started his laws of motion. If you remember in school, you probably had to learn those laws of motion as a part of elementary science. But that was 333 years ago. And that was the beginning of science, the beginning of physics. And then about 200 years later, we had field theory physics, which talked about the universal energy that interacts with each other. And they tried to cover the things that weren't covered by Isaac Newton. Then in 1900, 120 years ago, we had quantum physics, that matter exists as probabilities and tendencies rather than absolute things. Now, the way to understand that in a simple way is that when you see a movie, and we all watch movies, you go to the screen, the theater, and maybe when you were kids, you would take a book and you'd do little drawings on the edge of the book. On one page, you make one pencil drawing. The next page, you change it slightly. And the next page, you change it again. When you had a whole bunch done, you'd flick it, and it looked like you made your own animation. Maybe a waving hand or something like that. That's really showing a series of stills. And what quantum physics is saying, that life is really a whole series of contiguous stills. That we here together today, it's like a whole lot of still images, one after the other, very rapidly, and that's who we are. This is the quantum. So it's a tendency rather than an absolute thing. 1905, 115 years ago, relative physics. Einstein proposed that time is relative rather than absolute, and space and time cannot be separated but exist together as the fourth dimension. Then in 1970, the year I got ordained, there was string theory physics came out, that the universe is a whole series of tiny vibrating strings of energy uniting individuals and all things to an ever-expanding universe. And that was kind of interesting if you've spent time with it. And we're going to get into that in the fall a little bit more, because it calls upon a deeper understanding of spirituality. Don't forget, God created all of this. And it's an understanding of the creation, so we respect the creation more. And what's happening now in our own century is something called the divine matrix theory, the unity of the physics. It's bringing all these old theories together, and it's coming together with a sense that there's a divine energy that permeates everything, and that everything is connected with this divine energy. That we are a part, as individuals, we are a part with each other. And there's a greater part, that we are a part of the whole world. And as the planet is a part of the whole of the universe. That nothing is alone. And that we are unified, and that unifying energy, I believe, is God. And that energy is accessible, and this is important, through our emotions. That with our emotion, we access the energy of the universe that connects us and all things. And I'm going to get into more detail, as I said, later on. But one interesting experiment they've done, just to talk about how this really works, they've been able with instruments now, supposing you had to have a biopsy done. They do a swab in your mouth, and they get a little bit of your epidermal cells. And they're able now to measure. You stay in the room, and they go to another part of the building, and you get excited, and they can measure that at the same time as you get excited, the cells on the swab also get excited. So you go up, and the cells there measure going up. You go down, go down. Now they took this thing, and this really freaked them out because they didn't expect it. And they took this experiment, and they separated the cells and the person by 350 miles. It's in the United States. And they excited the person, and at the same instant, the cell showed a reaction. 350 miles apart. Now this is sort of goes against what we kind of think intuitively, but it's demonstrable. And they had different people do different experiments of the same, and the same result came. So it's not fixed up or a prank. It really happens. We are connected with ourselves, and any part of ourself, even as remote from us, is still connected with us. And the implication of that is that we're all connected to something greater. There's a force, an energy that connects us all that's greater than what we think. And I believe that force is the love of God. And the love of God permeates and is inside of us all. And that there's always hope, because God never abandons God's creation. But the thing is that we have to start thinking bigger. We have to get beyond the tribalism which was inherent, which we see in the scripture. We talked a little bit earlier today about the refugees. We are connected to all the refugees. We are connected to the people in Lebanon, not just the little Canadian girl that got killed, but to everybody there. We are connected to the people we don't even like. We have to start recognizing that we are all connected. And that as connected people, we have to start, instead of othering others, we have to start seeing, wonder why they're in the space they're in. It's made me sort of calm down my rhetoric about a president of a country. That I have to recognize that we're all connected. I feel sadness today that he lost his brother. I feel sadness for people who are sick. There is a sense of changing our understanding of the planet, of our community. We are not outside of it looking at it. We are a part of it. And we are all connected here in this room. We're all connected for the folks who are at home. We're all connected for the other people who live around us. And greater than that, we're connected to the animals. We're connected to the trees and the plants. We're all in this creation together. It's a big concept. It's a concept that we must always be striving to love, to reconcile, to heal, to understand, and to forgive. And as we know that we are loved and forgiven by God, so must we also connect, love, and work to forgive. I ask for God's blessing on us as we journey together on a trail, a pathway of healing and forgiveness and inclusion. May God bless us all, for we are members of God's created divine matrix. Amen.